السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
Can we go on?
نعم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Fullness to it. And after those discourses, the rule came from different angles with Mamun Bukhari, his book, and other books, which is a group of the woman set of human beings to us, and those have our Qarib, distinctions in family ties. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, I was I had a fluctuation there and I got exited. I just came back in. The Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah then started discussing matters regarding family ties. And he started with Babu Wujubi Silati Rahim, the chapter regarding the obligation of connecting family ties. After that, he discussed issues about the significance of family ties. He first of all gave us narrations regarding the fact that it is compulsory to connect family ties. Thereafter, he discussed the significance of connecting family ties. And the last hadith we read under that chapter was the affair of Abdullah ibn Abbas, where he explains a verse of the Quran, a section of the Quran in Surah Al-Isra, the area where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us when he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وآتي ذا القربى حقه والمسكين وابن السبيل ولا تبذر تبذيرا إن المبذرين كانوا إخوان الشياطين وكان الشيطان لربه كفورا وإما تعرضن عنهم ابتغاء رحمة من ربك ترجوها فقل لهم قولا ميسورا ولا تجعل يدك مغلولة إلى عنقك ولا تبسطها كل البسط فتقعد ملوما محسورا. Allah says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. In that portion of the Quran, Allah commanded us to hand out to the kith and kin. We should give our family members, we should give our folks, our kindred, حَقَّهُ, their rights. وَالْمِسْكِينَ بِنَ السَّبِيلِ. But the point of reference was about extending the rights of family members to them. And in this asar of Abdullah ibn Abbas, it made us understand that وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمَ بِتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ تَرْجُوهَا, that when we want to excuse ourselves from some sort of inability, when family members request for their rights, or when we want to discharge the rights of family members, we should be of good words when we become unable to discharge those, especially those rights that are connected to financial maintenance or whatever. But we find it unable to give out, we find it the right of the kingship at that time, we become unable to give it out. We should say good words to them. فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. These were the major points in the last class and in the classes that had gone in the past. And in the last class, we emphasized this point about granting the rights of kinship to those to whom they belong. Today, inshallah, the discourse will be about the virtue, because someone would ask, yes, it is compulsory on me to give and connect family ties. It is compulsory upon me to be sure that I protect my family members from whatever harm that will come to them. It is compulsory on me to discharge every kind of goodness to them as much as I am able to discharge. Someone could ask, what will I gain from that? From all of what we have read so far, the first thing the individual will gain is that when he connects family ties, you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first gain, the first benefit, the first virtue of connecting family ties is that when you connect family ties, you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is sufficient benefit for you. Also, we read hadith wherein Allah promised subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ever fulfills his promise. He promises to connect whoever connects family ties. That is also an area of benefit. But Al-Imam al-Bukhari has gathered another series of reports to make us understand what are the virtues, what are the benefits of connecting family ties. When you are nice to kith and kin, what do you gain? What do you gain from it? Because when the individual knows what he gains from something, it serves as a means of motivation for that individual to carry out the act. Just between the last class we had and today, one of our brothers, Jazawullahu Khairan, he, from every member in their household, in their family house, about 41 households in the family house, he did a need assessment for them. And then after the need assessment, he gave out the entire lump sum of 100 million naira to be shared amongst the members of the rest of the 40 households inside their family house. This is a very, very, very good thing. In fact, for me, I have hardly heard or seen things like this in recent times. What you hear of is someone gave to charity, someone gave to charity, someone gave to orphanage, someone gave to a foundation. How about your relatives? How about your kith and kin from where you have come out? What have you done to them? These are things that we hardly hear about. Yes, give to orphanage. Yes, give to foundation. But how about your home, where you have come from? Those with whom you have shared family ties, how about them? What have you done to them? From this hadith that we shall read today, inshallah, we'll be reading about the virtues of connecting the family ties. What does the individual gain when he is nice to his family? And of course, what does he lose when he becomes unkind to his kith and kin? That is hadith number 52. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has reported this hadith from his Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ubaid. So he said, rahimahullah, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, حدثنا محمد ibn عبيد الله قال حدثنا ابن أبي حازم عن العلاء عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال أتى رجل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إن لي قرابة أصيلهم ويقطعون وأحسن إليهم ويسيئون إلي ويجهلون علي وأحلم عنهم. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لئن كان كما تقول كأنما تصفهم الملة ولا يزال معك من الله ظهير عليهم ما دمت على ذلك. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا إن كان كما تقول كأنما تصفهم الملا ولا يزال معك من الله ظهير عليهم ما دمت على ذلك. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال أتى رجل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إن لي قرابة أصلهم ويقطعون وأحسن إليهم ويسيئون إلي ويجهلون علي وأحلم عنهم. قال لئن كان كما تقول كأنما تصفهم الملة ولا يزال معك من الله ظهير عليهم ما دمت على ذلك. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his sheikh because of the rest of our brothers who have with them the Arabic text that contain asanid. It says حدثنا محمد بن عبيد الله. محمد بن عبيد الله in this hadith is Abu Thabit al-Madani. محمد بن عبيد الله is Abu Thabit al-Madani. قال حدثنا ابن أبي حازم. ابن أبي حازم is عبد العزيز. عبد العزيز ابن أبي حازم. أبو حازم himself is سلمة ابن دينار. Al-Imam ibn Abi Hazim, when Al-Imam al-Zahabi spoke about him, he says, كان من أئمة العلم بالمدينة. Ibn Abi Hazim was from أئمة العلم بالمدينة. He was from amongst the leading scholars as far as knowledge is concerned in Al-Madina. We know what that would mean in the time of those who followed the companions and their students, that someone lives in Medina and becomes amongst the leading scholars of Medina is a big thing of virtue. And Al-Imam Ahmad will speak about Ibn Abi Hazim. He said, لَمْ يَكُمْ بِالْمَدِينَةِ بَعْدَ مَالِكٍ أَفْقَهُ مِنْهُ لَمْ يَكُمْ بِالْمَدِينَةِ بَعْدَ مَالِكٍ أَفْقَهُ مِنْهُ. There had not been and there wasn't a scholar in Medina after Al-Imam Malik that was more knowledgeable, more well-grounded in the science of Islamic jurisprudence, like Ibn Abi Hazim. And as knowledgeable as he was, rahimahullah, he combined a lot of worship with his knowledge. Ibn Abi Hazim was known to be very, very worshipful. He passed away in the Prophet's Masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while in the position of sujood. He was in the position of sujood, making nafila in the Prophet's Masjid when he died. That is Ibn Abi Hazim. The reason why I mention things like this is that for those of us just coming up, let us not just be busy with learning and learning and learning. Let us be sure that we combine good worship, good servitude to Allah with our pursuits of knowledge. May Allah make our knowledge one that is beneficial. Ibn Abi Hazim reported this hadith from Al-Ala. Al-Ala, we had read a number of his hadith. He is Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman. He is someone to note because he has a lot of ahadith that he has reported. He is Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman Abu Shibil al-Madani. Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman Abu Shibil al-Madani. And he has reported this hadith from his father. And his father is Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub al-Juhani. The father of Al-Ala is Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub al-Juhani. It is his father Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub al-Juhani that has reported this hadith from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and one of those who has mostly reported narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Hurairah. And from amongst the person who was most dutiful to his parents was Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. He reported this hadith and said, Ata rajulun nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqala ya rasulallah إن لي قرابة أصلهم ويقطعون وأحسن إليهم ويسيئون إلي ويجهلون علي وأحلم عنهم. قال لئن كان كما تقول كأنما تصفهم الملة ولا يزال معك من الله ظهير عليهم ما دمت على ذلك. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, أتى رجل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. A man approached the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال. The man then said, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, إن لي قرابة, I have a tie of kinship, or I have relatives. I have some kith and kin. أصيلهم ويقطعون أصيلهم, I will be nice to them. I will protect them from all kinds of evil. I will speak good to them. I will relate with them nicely. ويقطعون, but they will disconnect me. They will disconnect from me. They will break family ties with me, meaning that they will behave to me in a very, very bad manner. وأحسنوا إليهم, I will direct goodness to them. وَيُسِيئُونَ إِلَيَّ, but unfortunately, يُسِيئُونَ إِلَيَّ, they will direct evil to me, they will direct bad things to me. وَيَجْهَلُونَ عَلَيَّ, not just that, يَجْهَلُونَ عَلَيَّ, يعني يُعَامِلُونَنِي عَلَى طَرِيقَةِ الْجُهَالِ, they will relate with me in the way the people of ignorance relate with people. يعني بِالسَّبِّ وَالْغَضَبِ, they will, for example, be angry with me. يَجْهَلُونَ عَلَيَّ, when they talk to me, it is with anger. When they relate with me, it is with coarseness. يَجْهَلُونَ عَلَيَّ, it is with jafa, it is with wickedness when they deal with me. وَأَحْلُمُ عَنْهُمْ, but even at that, أَحْلُمُ عَنْهُمْ, I will be forbearing. I will bear that hardship. I will be patient over these kinds of villains from them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam then said, لَإِن كَانَ كَمَا تَقُولِ, if the matter is as you have described to me, كَأَنَّمَا تُصِفُهُمُ الْمَلَّ, it is as if you are stuffing them with burnt clay, hot hashes. It is as if you are stuffing them. When you behave like that, he said, radiyallahu anhu, asiluhum wa yaqta'u, when I connect family ties with them, they disconnect from me. When I go to ask for them, they don't allow me get into their houses. When I extend gifts to them, they extend evil to me. They direct evil to me. They direct abuses to me. They curse me. They insult me. But I try to still become persevere. I manage. I am patient over the negative things they direct towards me. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la in kana kama taqul, if the matter is as you have described, ka annama tusifuhum al-malla, it is as if tusifuhum, you are stuffing them with what? Al-mal. Al-mal is hot clay. Hot clay. Burnt hot clay. It is as if you stuff them with burnt hot clay, with your good character. وَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ, the second point of benefit is that لَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ, you will continue to get ظهير and assistance, support, من الله, from Allah. لَا يَزَالُ, it will continue to be with you. What is it that will continue to be with you? Support from Allah, help from Allah, assistance from Allah will continue to be with you, alayhim, regarding them, ma dumta ala zalik, as long as you remain like that. As long as you remain like that, you are going to be gaining support, help, and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a main thing of benefit when we connect family ties is that the individual who connects family ties will gain support from Allah subhanahu. He will gain help from Allah subhanahu. He will gain assistance from Allah subhanahu. That is even when the other members of the family are negative in their own attitudes to him. So we find that from the first point of benefit from this hadith is that when a person has issues about the relationship with his family, he can ask the people of knowledge, how do I handle this situation? This man has been nice to his family. What they direct to him is evil. When he is kind to them, what they direct to him is abuse and insult. So he went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How do I handle this matter with my family? So the first point of reference is that in our affairs, when things become unclear, look for a person of knowledge amongst the people of Sunnah, bi-Iznillah. You can ask this question. I have this and this issue. How do I handle this matter? Let's not forget, we came across a similar case at the beginning of this book, when a man out of jealousy killed someone that became married to someone else. He had proposed to marry a woman, but the woman rejected his proposal. I hope that we remember this hadith, either the second or the third hadith. After he committed that evil, he went to Abdullah ibn Abbas to ask a question about how to handle the situation. We also remember the story of Faisala, who had been amongst the Khawarij. When he came out of the Khawarij, he went to Abdullah ibn Umar, how do I get myself purified from the circumstance that I had been in? In this case, this companion went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain his circumstance to them, to him alayhi salatu wasalam. What was that circumstance? I have some family members. I would be nice to them, but they would treat me with evil. I would be good. I will show goodness to them. I will show kindness to them. While you see, isa'a is to be evil and direct that evil to the individual. They direct evil towards me. وَيَجْهَلُونَ عَلَيَّ And they treat me with the ways of jahal. That is, they treat me uncautiously, without respect, with insults, with abuse, with curse, with anger. This is how they handle me, O Messenger of Allah. Yet, wa ahlumu alayhi. I will still be patient and persevering regarding them. This is a major point of benefit for those of us in this generation amongst we Muslims. Most of the times, we have the negative, the wrong impression, that family ties is when the people are nice to you inside your family, then you are nice to them. Your brother is nice to you, he sends gifts to you, so you send gifts to him. Don't think that that is connecting family ties. We can see from this hadith that from the major aspects of connecting family ties is that tasiluhum wa in yaqta'uk. That is, you connect them even when they disconnect with you. Wa tuhsinu ilayhim wa in asa'u. Like you show goodness to them even if they direct people to you, and then you are patient over the negative things that come to them, that come to you from them. May Allah protect us. You show niceness to them irrespective of what they show to you. When they show goodness to you, alhamdulillah. When they show evil to you, you are patient over their evil, because this kind of attitude from family members have sent a lot of brothers and a lot of sisters away from their family. When you ask them, why are you far away from your family? They tell you that when I'm nice to them, they disconnect from with me. When I show goodness to them, they direct evil to me. So I have to run away from them. We know from this hadith that this is a wrong perception about connecting family ties. Connecting family ties, a major aspect of it is that we are patient. Ahalumu. We are going, he said, radiallahu anhu, wa ahlumu alayhim. I'll be patient, I'll be persevering, no matter what they direct to me. A brother recently wrote on a single statement piece that if someone was asked, say a dua against your enemies, and he prays against his enemies, oh Allah, kill my enemies, that the most of the people who will pass away will be the members of his family. If you know that that is the case, don't make that kind of a dua. Don't make a dua against your family members, because that sincerely, it does not show that you are persevering over their acts of jahal towards you. It does not show it at all. It's a major thing of area of concern and attention for us, all of us, the speakers and the listeners in our times. We should not think that connecting family ties is only when you take their children to Mr. Dix, they take your children to ShopRite. No. Even when you show the best of character towards them and they direct the worst of characters towards you, from your own aspects of being nice to them, is not to stop being nice to them, not to stop kindness towards them, to also exchange that or those acts of rudeness, coarseness that they direct towards you, to face them with a lot of perseverance and patience. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us what the result of that will be. It is ka'annaka tusifuhumul balla. When you are firm upon goodness to them, it is as if you are stuffing them with burnt clay. And the second thing that will happen to you is that la yazalu ma'aka min Allahi zahirun alayhi. Allah will continue to keep with you a help, a means of help, a means of assistance against them. Ma dumta ala zalik. As long as you remain firm upon what you are doing, it means the best way to face the negative attitudes we face from family members is to persevere and be nice to them. That is when we will get the help and support from Allah. But when you behave like them, then Allah leaves you. The strongest in evil will overrun the other one. If you stop to be nice to them, if you stop to show perseverance when they are unkind towards you, then you will be left to yourself. What will happen is that you want to show evil to evil, then the two of you will be left to yourselves by Allah, because you will not get support from Allah. But when you are kind to them, despite their unkindness towards you, then Allah will provide you support. Allah will provide you assistance. Allah will provide you help as long as you remain upon showing kindness to them, upon showing goodness to them, upon connecting family ties with them, and being patient over the negative attitudes that they direct towards you. This is a major issue, like I have repeated in our times, that we all need to pay attention to. These days, we usually think, oh, it is when I'm nice to him. This is why even relationship amongst friends do not last. Because friends hardly, they find it hard to persevere over negative attitudes from those they refer to as their friends. This is a person who cannot tolerate negative attitudes from his brother. He cannot tolerate negative attitude from his sister. He cannot tolerate negative attitudes from his uncle. How will he tolerate negative attitude from his friends? So you see, this is from the aspects of charity begins at home. If you are able to tolerate good negative attitudes from your relatives, it is most likely that you will be able to keep and sustain very good relationship with people outside your home. But when you are not able, like they say these days, your latitude of patience is very, very small. You can't tolerate. You can't even keep a wife if you are not careful, because you will not be able to tolerate negative attitude from that wife. All you want from people is positive attitude, and life is not like that. There will certainly be people erring. People all make mistakes. People think wrongly. People have bad judgments, which evokes negative attitudes from them when they relate with people. So if you don't have any kind of tolerance for people, if you are not the individual who cannot persevere at all, then you are going to wreck your family, you are going to wreck yourself, you are going to wreck the society. So from the things that we all must note is that our ability to sustain negative attitudes from people, that is the strength that we have. The strength you have against your enemy from your home. The strength you have against your enemy from your home, from your family, is that be nice to him. Because when you are nice to him, Allah has guaranteed you support. Allah has guaranteed you assistance. Allah has guaranteed you help if you are nice to the members of your family who direct negative attitudes towards you. It's a major thing that we have to take note of. Some of the people will have a means of helping their brothers, helping their cousins, helping their relatives, helping their uncles. They'll say, no, I will not help them. Why? He abused me yesterday. We should understand that this is an attitude that is not welcomed at all in Islam. You have a brother near you, you can help. Why? Why are you not helping him? He abused me yesterday. He insulted me yesterday. This attitude must stop. We must learn to persevere over negative attitudes of people towards us and then direct our goodness to the people, despite the fact that they've been negative to us. It's something we all have to go back to the drawing boards to develop if we don't have it at all, and improve upon if our attitude towards this aspect of life is very, very low. We have to, something we all have to work upon ourselves and be sure that we develop good enough strength of patience over people's negative attitudes towards us. It's a very, very important aspect of our life in these days and time of ours. May Almighty Allah protect us and help us and support us. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, hadith number 52. He reported that Ata Rajulun Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala ya Rasulallah. This man said, Messenger of Allah, Inna li qarabatan. I have some kids and kin. Asiluhum. I will be nice to them. Wa yaqutahum. But they will disconnect family ties with me. Wa uhsinu ilayhim. I will show good and kindness towards them. Wa yusiuna ilayya. But they will return with unkindness and evil. Wa yajhaluna alayya. They will even show me coarseness. They will abuse me. They will insult me. They will be harsh towards me. Wa ahlumu alayhim. And I would persevere over all these negative attitudes from them. Qala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La in kana kama taqul, if the matter is as you have described, ka'annama tusifuhum al-mala, it is as if you are stuffing them with a burning clay. Wa la yazalu mina ma'aka min Allahi zahir. And Allah will continue to provide you a support, a strength, help, assistance from himself, alayhim, over them. So those who want help, assistance, strength, support from Allah over those who treat them badly should take to this kind advice and counsel from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as you remain like that, you will get help, support, strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people of negative attitudes in your family, they will not overpower you as long as you remain upon goodness towards them. It means when you stop being good towards them, then you are left to yourself. May Allah protect us and not leave us to ourselves. The next hadith is hadith number 53. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. We have come to the hadith of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais a second time. So he said, Haddathana Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. Qala haddathani akhi. Ismail ibn Abi Uwais said, Haddathani akhi. My brother narrated to me. And his brother who has narrated this hadith to him is Abdul Hamid. His brother's name is Abdul Hamid ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Uwais. Abdul Hamid ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Uwais. These people, Ismail ibn Abi Uwais and Abdul Hamid ibn Abi Uwais, their mother is the younger sister of Al-Imam Malik. Ismail ibn Abi Uwais and Abdul Hamid ibn Abi Uwais, their mother is the sister of Al-Imam Malik. So Al-Imam Malik is their maternal uncle. Rahimahumullah. I just mentioned that. He has reported this hadith from Sulaiman ibn Bilal. We would note that Ismail ibn Abi Uwais also reports a hadith directly from Sulaiman ibn Abi Bilal. The last hadith of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was directly from Sulaiman ibn Abi Bilal. But it means that this particular hadith, he has heard it from his brother Abdul Hamid, who heard it from the teacher of the both of them, Sulaiman ibn Bilal. And Sulaiman ibn Bilal has reported this hadith from Muhammad ibn Abi Atiq. Muhammad ibn Abi Atiq is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad ibn Abi Atiq is Muhammad ibn Abdullah Ibn Abi Atiq. He is from the descendants of Abu Bakr Siddiq. He's from the great grandchildren of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he has reported this hadith from Ibn Shihab. Ibn Shihab in this isnad is Al Imam Zuhri rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Muslim. Muhammad ibn Muslim, Ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri rahimahullah, one of the teachers of Al Imam Malik, Imam Zuhri. So he has reported from another tabi. Al Imam Zuhri was a tabi. He was reported to have met about 10 companions of the Prophet Muhammad, from amongst them Anas ibn Malik and others. So he's a tabi'i. So this is a hadith where a tabi'i is reporting from another tabi'i. The tabi'i, the first tabi'i of this hadith is who? Ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri. The second tabi'i of this hadith is Abu Salama ibn Abdul Rahman. Abu Salama ibn Abdul Rahman. He is Abu Salama ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf had a son he named Abu Salama. So when you hear Abu Salama ibn Abdul Rahman, he is Abu Salama, the son of who? Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a third tabi'i in this hadith. That is Ar-Raddad al-Laysi. Abu Raddad al-Laysi. Abu Raddad al-Laysi is the one from whom Abu Salama is reporting this hadith. Even though that hadith is the hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf is the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the group of people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly told that they would enter Al-Jannah. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was from amongst the people the Prophet told directly, you will enter Al-Jannah. So and so will be in Al-Jannah. Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq will be in Al-Jannah. Umar radiallahu anhu will be in Al-Jannah. Uthman ibn Affan will be in Al-Jannah. Ali ibn Abi Talib will be in Al-Jannah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas will be in Al-Jannah. From amongst those 10 the Prophet mentioned in that hadith was who? Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And he was from amongst the richest, amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet passed away, he was the one in charge of the expenses inside the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet was about 10 years older than Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the Prophet is about 10 years older than him. So when the Prophet died at 63 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how old was Abdurrahman ibn Auf? He was about 53 years of age. And as old, I just want to mention this point about him, radiallahu anhu. As old as he was, Abdurrahman ibn Auf used to learn the Quran from Abdullah ibn Abbas. The hadith occurs in Sahih Bukhari. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he would learn from Abdullah ibn Abbas. When the Prophet died, Ibn Abbas was just about 9, 10, 11 years old. Yet Ibn Auf would still learn the Quran from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. Despite the fact that he'd been assured of Al-Jannah, the youngness of Ibn Abbas did not prevent Ibn Auf from still learning from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Many of the people would not like to learn today from people because they think that these people are younger than we are. Look at the age gap between Abdurrahman ibn Auf, about 35 to 40 years. Ibn Auf was ahead of Ibn Abbas, yet he would still go to him to take knowledge and benefit from the knowledge of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Radiallahu anhu, these were the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, Sami'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. Abdurrahman ibn Auf heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that, Qala Allah, the Prophet said that Allah said. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported, he gave the end of the isnad to Allah. And those are hadith in which the Prophet would give the isnad and say, Qala Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet speaks like this, this kind of a hadith is referred to as what? Hadithun Qudsiyun. This kind of a hadith in which the Prophet will also ascribe the isnad and mention Allah. It is also referred to as what? hadithun qudsiyun. That is a divine hadith, so to speak. A divine hadith. What is hadithun qudsiyun? A hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afnadahu ila rabbihi. He would ascribe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is from divine speech. And the difference between this and the Quran is that Al-Quran wahyun matlu. Quran is a wahyu that we recite. If we want to observe Salah now, we'll say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen after Basmala. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim and so on. That is Tilawa. We read the Quran as a means of nearness to Allah. But we do not read Hadith on Qudsiyun as a means of nearness to Allah, except when we study, try to know the meaning and all of this, we will be rewarded for studying it and all that. But as for the Quran, the mere recitation of the Quran itself is reward for the person who reads the Quran. That's a major difference between Hadith on Qudsiyun and Al-Quran. May Allah make us understand better than it is said. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that Allah said, Ana Rahman. Allah said, قال الله. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال الله أنا الرحمن وأنا خلقت الرحم واشتققت لها من اسمي فمن وصلها وصلته ومن قطعها بتته أنا الرحمن وأنا خلقت الرحم واشتققت لها من اسمي فَمَنْ وَصَلَهَا وَصَلْتُهُ وَمَنْ قَطَعَهَا بَتَتُهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to us from Allah that Allah said, Ana Rahman, I am Ar-Rahman. One of the scholars, Al-Hafiz al-Hajar, he says this is evidence that Asma'ullahi Tawqifiyya, that the names of Allah are things that we cannot talk about except we have a proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah says, I am Ar-Rahman. My name or from my names are what or is Ar-Rahman. So I am Ar-Rahman. This involves two things. Allah is talking about his name and he's talking about his essence. It means there is an essence. Allah is not just what people like the Jahmiyyah think, like it's just an idea. No, Allah is an essence behind that name. I am Ar-Rahman. So there's an essence, divine essence, behind the names of Allah subhanahu. Allah, they say that. So he says, Ana Rahman, I am Ar-Rahman. And he mentioned that, of course, in the Quran in many places. It's Kulidu Allah. Awidu Ar-Rahman. You call him Allah, you call him Ar-Rahman, Ayyam Ma Tad'u. Either of them that you call him. Falahul Asma'ul Husna. The best of the names are his. So he is the one who will say, this is my name. So you cannot coin a name and ascribe it to Allah. You can't say Allah is a name. You cannot ascribe a name to Allah except what he has ascribed to himself. You cannot call Allah by a name except a name that he gave to himself. The same thing in the matters of his attributes. You cannot attribute to Allah except what he has attributed to himself. One of the easy to pick reasons Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husseinin gave regarding these matters is that you did not see him. You do not hear his voice. You, as an individual, you are not seeing him. You don't know him. You've never met him and seen him face to face. So why do you call him what he is not? So why do you talk about his name and his attributes? When you don't see him, you don't know him. It will be from the aspects of talking about what you don't know. So that is Rajman bil Ghayb, peeping into the issues of the unseen. So Allah saying in this hadith, Ana Rahman, I am Rahman. One evidence from it is that the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. They are things we cannot speak about. We should not ascribe to Allah names that he has not ascribed to himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the meanings of names that he has not ascribed to himself. We should not. Rather, also we should not also ascribe to himself, add to him attributes that he has not ascribed to himself. The second point we quickly like to say is that Allah's essence, he talked about his essence, I am. So there's an essence behind his name. And then he says Ar-Rahman. From the attributes of that essence that has a name, Ar-Rahman, from the attributes of that essence, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he is Ar-Rahman, the one who is absolutely compassionate. Allah is absolutely compassionate. Allah is absolutely merciful, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, Wa ana khalaqtu rahim. And I am the one who has created the ties of kinship. We told us at the beginning of the classes on Ar-Rahim that the womb, the woman's womb, where the child developed itself, is what is referred to as what? Ar-Rahim. So I created Ar-Rahim. I created the womb of the woman. I created Ar-Rahim. I created the ties of kinship that connects you from the womb of your mothers and your parents. I am the one who has created the ties of kinship itself. Like we read in the previous hadith of Abu Huraira, that after Allah finished the creation, the ties of kinship stood up. So one of the things that Allah created is what? The ties of kinship, Ar-Rahim. So he told us in this hadith, Wa ana khalaqtu Rahim. And I am the one who has created the ties of kinship. Washtaqaqtu laha min ismi. And I have derived a name for Ar-Rahim, for the ties of kinship, means me from my name, meaning that from the root, from where that word Ar-Rahim got its name, is what Ar-Rahman, which is from the attributes of Allah's mercy. So it means from the way or from the root of that word Ar-Rahim. When we say family ties. Family ties got its name in Arabic from what? From mercy. Meaning that the basic thing that should be the overriding rule when you relate with the members of your family, when you relate with your folks, when you relate with your kindred, when you relate with your kith and kin, the basic rule should be about what? Mercy. The basic rule should be about kindness. The basic rule should be about compassion. The basic rule should be about pity. The basic rule should be about help. The basic rule should be about assistance. The basic rule should be about support, O Muslim, when you relate, because Allah picked the name of your ties from his name, Ar-Rahman. So the Prophet said that Allah said, فَمَنْ وَصَلَهَا. Therefore, whoever connects family ties, wasal to, the person should be sure that I will connect him. The person should be certain, because this expression shows at-tahqiq, man wasala wasal to, whoever connects family ties should be sure that I will connect him. Whoever is kind to his family should be sure that I will be kind to him. Whoever is compassionate with his family, with his ties, with his brothers, with his sisters, with his cousins, should be sure that I will show him kindness. Whoever is merciful, فَمَنْ وَصَلَهَا. Whoever is merciful to them should be sure that I will be merciful to him. Whoever has pity for them should be sure that I will, because all of these are from the aspects of connecting family ties. So Allah tells us about his attributes, that he will connect with those who connect family ties. So he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, man wasalaha, whoever connects that family ties, wasal to who? I will connect that person. That is, as he relates with the family, that is what I will relate with him. And then he said, waman qata'aha, whoever disconnects family ties, whoever shows evil regarding his brothers, his sisters, his cousins, his uncles, he directs evil towards them. But tattuhu, al-battu is al-qat'u, that is qata'atuhu. Whoever connects them, man wasalaha, wasaltuhu. Woman qata'aha, battattuhu. Battattuhu means what? Qata'atuhu. I will disconnect such persons too. One of the scholars said that from the things that the Muslim will get What exactly what you do is what you get. If you connect, you get connected. If you show kindness, you get kinder. If you show mercy, you get mercy. It's your dealings with the members of your family. If you want Allah's help, help them. If you want compassion, show compassion to them. If you want support from Allah, show support to them. If you want protection from Allah, protect them. If you want aid from Allah, aid them. If you want what as you want, when you relate with your family, that is what you are going to get. Man wa salaha wa saltu. Whoever connects family ties, Allah will connect it. Wa man qata'aha, whoever cuts family ties, qata'atuhu aw batatuhu, Allah will cut him off. May Allah protect us and not cut us off. So let's not cut with our family ties and with our family members. Those of us who already have cut families, go back and rectify them. Just like we had read in the hadith of the man who made his parents to cry. It's a basic rule in the matters of dealing with people. When you have done badly, you should always be able to go back to correct whatever bad that you had done. May Allah make it easy for us to be people who will be kind and compassionate with our family members. May Allah not make us children who will be bringing harm and hurt to other members of the family. These things are common these days. Some of the people think them, their wives, and their children. That's the family. No, you have uncles, you have cousins, you have brothers, you have sisters. All of these people have a right over you, not a privilege. Some of the people now say, oh, if I am kind to him, he will not show, he will not respect me. That boy, if I just bring myself near him, he will be insulting me. What you need to do when he insults you is to bear patiently and persevere. That should not stop you from being kind and nice to the members of your family. It means we don't have a reason not to show kindness to our family members. We don't have a reason. We don't have an excuse. May Allah protect all of us and forgive all our sins. I think we all can go back to the drawing board and start trying to rectify ourselves. May Allah rectify us all. And I think it will be sufficient to stop here, inshallah. We can take a few questions, inshallah. Bi-Iznillah, tomorrow we'll be reading 4 ahadith. We'll end this chapter heading, and then we'll start and end, inshallah, the next chapter heading too. All about the virtues of connecting family ties. Bi-Iznillah, we'll read 4 ahadith tomorrow, inshallah, between hadith number 54 and hadith number 57. Bi-Iznillah. I think we can stop here, inshallah. Abba Yusuf.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Go on with the question, please.
Jazakum allahu khairan.
Ameen Wansum, just go on.
Can you help talk more on Silatul Rahim regarding in-laws, visiting them, calling, and helping them when they need us?
We will be talking about that when we discuss relationship between husbands and wives. We would not like to mix up this discussion at all. Let the women be patient. We are going to be discussing their relationship with their husbands in other chapters. For now, we are talking about you as a wife and the members of your family. The husband as a husband and the members of his own family. We'll be talking about issues husband and wife elsewhere, not here now. Bismillah. Except the matter here will be relating to a wife if she is a mother. If we have to talk about you here now, we are talking about you as a mother and as a sister. We've not started talking about a woman as a wife. No, we are talking about a woman now as a mother and as a sister and as a daughter. But a woman as a wife, we'll be discussing that in the matters regarding husband and the wife, because we have chapters regarding that too. Let's not mix it up. And this is the reason, this is how we must leave it in our homes too. Don't mix up your dealings, issues of husband and wife, and then issues of your family. Place every person in its place. So let's put it in its place. Myself, my in-laws, my husband's mother, and this will come back to all those kinds of issues when we come to issues between the husband and his wife. But for now, it is about you as a Muslima, as a daughter, you as a Muslima, as a mother, you as a Muslima, as a sister. But you as a Muslima, as a wife, let's leave this one aside first so that it does not disrupt the atmosphere of our peaceful discussion, inshallah.
جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخنا.
How
do we relate with cousins of the opposite sex?
Cousins of the opposite sex, you maintain the issues of mahal that are with you. You know, they are amongst our relatives, there are maharim, and there are those that are not mahrams. There are maharim, those we can not marry forever, amongst our relatives, our brothers, our sisters. The relationship is different. Then the relationship between those who are not our mahram, those who can marry us, like our cousins, we still relate with them nicely. We still show kindness to them, but of course, within the limits of the Sharia regarding this, is the way you will relate with a brother you know. If you know someone, you grew up together. We know how we relate with them, even though they are not our relatives. We relate to them very well, and we still maintain good limits of the Sharia regarding that. So we maintain good relationship with them while still maintain the limits of the Sharia. Many of the women you ask these kinds of questions, and perhaps they are the same people selling shoes, selling bags, and all of it. They relate with their customers, they don't think about that one. But when it comes about maharim, so we should keep the limits of the Sharia when we relate with them, but nevertheless, be kind to them, be easy with them, show them, ask of them too. You can tell your husband, I want to ask of so and so, it's my first cousin, it's my brother, my uncle, or he's my aunt, or he's. Tell your husband, he's my first cousin. Yes, we are mahram, but I like to ask of him. It's not wrong. Carry your husbands along, if they are males especially. Carry your husbands along. Let him know if he's a very, very jealous type. Let him know all of these things from the very beginning. Of course, within his permission and his limits. But that's not to say, oh, my husband is a bit jealous, and then you cut off. Don't cut off your relationship. Still keep a good relationship while maintaining the limits of the Sharia regarding them. Most of the times, it is not maintaining the limits that is feared. If the limits are maintained, that you are cousins now does not mean that you are together alone somewhere. Why? He's my cousin. Is he not my cousin? Why are we not maintaining the ties of kinship? We know that this one has gone beyond limits if they are people that are not from our maharim. So don't go beyond limits. You can still keep good relationship with people without going beyond limits. We all know these things, and we know how do you relate with your ustad, your sheikh, your teachers, as a wife of another man? You relate with them, you still keep limits of Sharia. How do men relate with the wives of other people if they have to? You relate with them, you still keep limits of Sharia. So I think these things are very, very clear, inshallah. I hope also by the time we read from other sections of the book, they will be clearer even. We can ask one or two more questions. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll stop earlier so that we can take more questions. We can ask another question now, and we'll end it.
The first hadith mentioned stuffing with hot clay. Is this a punishment in the hereafter?
Well, I have not heard any of the scholars talking about that as a punishment from the hereafter. But it means that it's your niceness to them is a means of protection for you. And it is their evil towards you is rather an evil that they are directing towards themselves if they know, because it is not coming to you. The evil that they do towards you, the abuse of you, the direct evil to you, they are causing the curse to you. It's as if they, by your own good deeds, it's as if they are stalking themselves. So it's a means of returning what they have done to them. So this will dissuade any brother from treating his sister badly. Because when you treat your sister badly and she's treating you kindly, you are just killing yourself. You are just hurting yourself. So you won't do it. So it's a means of discouragement for those who will want to treat their brothers badly. Why? Because if he is treating you well, then your treating him badly is just returning to you. It will come back to you. So don't treat your relatives badly, because your bad treatment, when they are firm, when they are persevering, when they are patient with you, and they still direct goodness to you, it will come back to you as a stuff of burning clay. May Allah protect all of us. I hope that this matter is clear now. Ameen, Abba Yusuf. I think we can stop the class here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته